To many, God seems capricious. He heals some, but lets others die. Some get great wealth, others starve. Running life's race means understanding that faith in God lets God set the priorities. Trusting Him does not mean we'll always get what we want. Today, developing a faith not based on the here and now. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series is Highlights from Hebrews, and today we're turning to Hebrews chapter 11. Dr. Lutzer is speaking on what happens when God doesn't come through, as when we need to be healed.
Take, for example, this business of healing. You know, we have some friends who are of the persuasion that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he died for his body, soul, and spirit, and therefore we can have all the healing we want right now. And if you are sick, that means that you lack faith. You know those people. They're very nice. They're nice to have as friends, but they can also be very irritating at times. But nevertheless, fine people often believe that. You know what their mistake is? Of course Christ died for his body, soul, and spirit. He died for us completely. But they think that we can have all the benefits in this life. We can't. The fulfillment of what Jesus Christ did for us awaits the day of resurrection when we shall have a body that is like unto his body. And we don't get that down here. It's not ours yet. But it will be. It will be. And so we die with weak bodies, not yet having seen the fulfillment of the promise. But the promise is there, and it will be fulfilled, because all of the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. God is a God of integrity. It's a God of integrity. Look at Christ on the cross when he's dying there. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Look at Christ. Does it seem then as if God cared? Where was God when his son needed him? But then you look at the resurrection. You look at the resurrection. God was there even when the son did in darkness hide and when the father turned away. The purpose of God was accomplished. I like John the Baptist. John the Baptist actually was a cousin in the flesh to Christ, at least a half-cousin, because Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. And Mary and Elizabeth, you remember, were sisters, and that was the mother of John the Baptist. And he was a great man, you know, going to the Jordan River there, telling people to repent, and seeing Christ and saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He had a lot of spiritual insight. One day, because of some circumstances I won't tell you about, you can read them for yourself in the Bible, but one day John the Baptist was thrown into prison. This was really tough for him, especially because he was alone, and usually during that period of time, that solitude oftentimes produces a lot of doubt and a lot of unbelief, but also because he was in a tough circumstance, he knew he might die, and then there was another puzzle that really, really must have bothered him. In the Old Testament, it says that when the Messiah comes, the doors of the prisons are going to be opened, justice is going to be brought to the world, and peace and prosperity is going to come. And he's reading his Old Testament, and he's saying, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. If he were a German, he'd say, es stimmt nicht. It doesn't add up. So he sends a delegation to Jesus. By the way, John the Baptist misread those promises, because remember that that will yet happen when Messiah comes. There were two comings of Messiah, but he didn't get that. So being very polite, he sends a delegation from prison and he says, ask the Lord Jesus this. And he wants to do it kindly, but he's got to get it out of his system. If you have doubts, voice them. God can handle it. He said, art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? What he's saying is, Jesus, you're such a disappointment to me. Are you really the Messiah, or aren't you? Did we misread your credentials? Jesus takes the question in stride and says to those who had come, he says, look, he said, go back and tell John that the blind are having their eyes open, the deaf are hearing, the gospel is being preached to the poor. And then when you go back, would you tell him this? Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. What Jesus was saying, if I might give that a very, very contemporary, loose, Lutherian translation, it would be, blessed is the person who is not upset with the way I run my business. Blessed is the person who does not get upset or begin to disbelieve just because I'm not doing the things that they think I should be doing. Blessed is the person who does not say, oh God, I'm never going to bother you with another request again. If you didn't answer that prayer, I'm through. Blessed is the person who does not say that. Blessed is the person who says, God, your way is mysterious. I do not know why you don't do these things, because it would certainly make sense to me. Those are the kinds of things that we would expect a loving God to do. But even though you don't, I am going to go on believing you, because the text says, verse 6 of the 11th chapter, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And the highest degree of faith, the highest degree of faith is to believe God without explanations, even when God doesn't seem to come through for us. Blessed is the person who goes on believing anyway. I need to say in parenthesis that there are some promises you can count on today. For example, those of you who have never personally believed on Jesus Christ, the scripture goes, says over and over again that when we come to him, we know that we will receive eternal life. If you give up on yourself and you cleave to Christ as Savior who died in your place, you will be instantly received. But there are some other promises. There are other promises for which we may not see the fulfillment in this life. I think of Jesus in Gethsemane. There in agony, as he anticipates taking upon himself my sin and yours, he's anticipating suddenly becoming legally guilty of some of the most hideous things that you and I could ever even think about. And he's going to become legally guilty of these, because the Lord is going to lay upon him the iniquity of us all. And that is a lot of iniquity. There he is. He's in Gethsemane. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. God, if there is a way that I would not have to drink this cup, if there would be another way, if it is possible, deliver me, take me straight to heaven. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he dies and he completes God's plan, and he is raised from the dead as an expression of God's faithfulness and the victory of Christ. And today we love him and we worship him, and we can't speak about him enough because we love him so much, because he went through with it and he did say, nevertheless, nevertheless. Today I speak to people undoubtedly whose hearts are broken because of circumstances that you know God could have changed, because of the lack of deliverance that you think he should have brought. Some of you might even be pretty angry with God if the truth were really known, if we could dig down deep and really find what's there. I want you to know today that you can be listed in the great 11th chapter of Hebrews. You too can be a hero of faith. Oh, sometimes we hear about those who stand up and they say, you know, God has answered this prayer, God has answered this prayer. There was a woman in a prayer meeting who once stood up and said, if God answers another prayer of mine, I won't even be able to take it. He's answering them all. I say, great. great. He hasn't answered all of mine, but I'm glad he's answering all of yours. She'll be undoubtedly a hero of faith. But even if you don't see the miracles, you too will be if you go on believing God. Because he is trustworthy, and because he does love you, and because he does care, even if you die without seeing the fulfillment of some promises, you will make God's great hero of faith. And the Bible says that that faith is so precious to him that it is our gift at his appearing. Faith which is more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And that faith which he really brings about in our hearts is given to him back as a gift. Years ago, we used to sing a song which I don't think it's known down in this part of the country. I always keep telling Jerry that we should learn it, and maybe I have to find the music for it so we can. But the words go like this: My Jesus, as thou wilt, O may thy will be mine. Into thy hands of love I would my all resign. Through sorrow or through joy, conduct me as thine own, and help me still to say, My Lord, thy will, thy will be done. Blessed are those who are not upset with the way God runs his business. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I'm so glad that you listened today. Because when I preached that message, I had in mind people who were so discouraged because of unanswered prayer, so discouraged because they felt that the promises were not coming in their direction, that they began to stop praying or stop believing and stop trusting and begin to charge God with indifference regarding their circumstances. Just know that no matter what you are passing through today, some other Christian someplace somewhere has passed through what you have and has done so successfully. Would you at this moment thank God for your circumstances and thank God for his faithfulness? Those circumstances have come from his hand. I end today with the words of John Calvin, the great reformer in Geneva. He said, O God, I am greatly afflicted. He had many problems physically. He said, O God, I am greatly afflicted, but it is from thy hand, so I am abundantly satisfied. Be satisfied with God today, even if he hasn't answered all of your prayers. And if you are, you too will be a hero of faith, and your name will be in Hebrews chapter 11.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has now concluded When God Doesn't Come Through, the last message in his series, Highlights from Hebrews. Ever wonder what God's ultimate purposes are? Monday, Erwin Lutzer begins a series asking the question, What is God up to? Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. We believe our series from Hebrews has helped you draw near to God in fully assured faith. Highlights from Hebrews can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. This is Dave McAllister. What is God up to? Find out on Monday's edition of Running to Win.